Okay, so I'm sitting here with Joe. It is the 24th February. It's basically our last day. This is departure day, Joe. And like I did with Vangile yesterday, I just want you to share your experience of the retreat, this one, and also just tell us why do you think retreats are basically a must do at least once in one's lifetime. And then I want to also talk about your work, and then I want to ask you something else that comes naturally.
So I start with just the view I'm looking at, which is of the
Oh yeah, I mean, how
ocean.
amazing is this? Look, we're looking, guys, we're looking at wildebeest and a zebra
Zebra.
and the ocean, and
Yeah.
it's green and it's lush.
Yeah. And this morning, in fact, on day one, Sanele and I
Yeah.
took a walk
Oh, after arrival.
after
Okay.
arrival, setting what we wanted for ourselves for the week.
Okay.
And then we closed this morning.
Oh, did you
Taking
take a
another
walk?
walk.
Oh,
Yes,
okay, because I missed it, because I'm stuck in the kitchen, which is very revealing, but it's something I'm going to share later. Okay.
There's something about being out in a place of nature that is really magical and transforming.
True.
And then you add to that the environment that you've created
Yeah.
for growth and learning.
Yeah.
And to be able to go to move from one's growth and learning
Yeah.
into the being held by nature
Yes.
has a quality to it that you don't get
Anywhere else in anything.
in normal workshops or trainings. So this particular retreat has been really spiritually connecting
Yeah, no,
for me.
jeez. Yeah. In what ways?
I mean, nature for me always does that.
Okay.
Because nature reminds me where I can forget, because the busyness of life, which is why I think retreats can be so important. That the spaces in between sessions and just being able to walk out and see the ocean and experience just the vastness of the trees, it's expansion. Like everywhere I look,
It's there's no lack, it's abundance,
it's
it's lush,
expansion. Yeah.
it's overwhelmingly beautiful, overwhelmingly big, and you see yourself as part of it at the same time you see yourself outside of it. It's just magical. So I understand the
Yeah.
spiritual aspect of it.
And the ocean for me, because the ocean is so wild, like you can't tame the ocean, but you can learn to swim it.
And you did yesterday. I was like,
When
oh, they are the whites swimming. The white
I
person is swimming.
didn't go as far as I would have liked because I didn't feel I had enough knowing of the
Oh, yeah, you
current.
did say.
And what I found interesting when we walked, you guys missed it, but there was a board that showed the river tide going into the sea, and
Yeah.
it's called a rip tide according to the board.
Okay.
And what to do if you get caught in this current, because the instinct would be to fight. When you fight an ocean current, you will drown. And I remember my
Wow.
father taught me this was when I was a child, that if you ever get caught in a current, relax.
But that is so counterintuitive, though, because it's also like life. I mean, if you find yourself in a very, very difficult space in your life, whether it's your finances or your relationship, the more you fight it, the deeper you go. The thing is to relax, but we don't do
No,
that.
we don't.
It's a
And
very counterintuitive
I don't
thing.
do that. I mean, I have, since I was small, I've had a sort of an anxiety.
Yeah,
So I
no,
find it
big time.
very hard to
To
just
relax.
relax and just release and go. Although, of course, I've had plenty of moments I can do it when I'm working. For some reason, when I'm working,
When you're helping
when
others, you
I'm in a
can,
workshop context taking a process, it just shifts. But so then on the sign, it shows you to just relax and go with the current. And
Okay.
then to take a right or a left past once you pass a first wave or past the second wave. So that you're no longer being taken
In
outwards. It's hard now, people are listening to me and I'm trying to explain it so people can see what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
So if you imagine the sea going into the ocean, now you've got to go like vertically
Yes.
into the
Oh, okay.
water.
Yeah.
You've now got to go horizontally,
Horizontal,
so you're
yeah.
parallel to the ocean. And then you swim parallel to the beach until a wave comes and you let the force of the wave take you back in.
Oh my goodness. That's what they wrote on the
That's what they
board?
wrote. They showed a diagram and they said if you see someone stuck in the rip tide, don't go after them. I mean, my instinct would be
Of
that.
course,
I
we
would
all
like
go,
dive and then
yeah.
you kill each other. you know.
So instead of one person dying, yeah, two people go. Yeah.
The metaphor of that, like the ocean for me always has so many lessons.
It does, no? The ocean is everything, hey?
The top of the ocean is affected by the winds, the choppiness. That's like life, how being triggered by people around us.
Yeah.
And then underneath the ocean, there are currents. And the currents are not affected by the day-to-day, the wind, the weather, you know.
There's a system and a process and a particular structure that governs those.
You can't fight the current.
Wow.
You can navigate
at the top, the waves. You can try there.
But you can't fight the current. The current is what the current does.
You know what? After you spoke about if you get caught in the... In that river as it feeds into the ocean, then when you get to a certain point, go left or right. It reminds me, and it just comes to mind, so I thought I should say it. Finding Nemo. Have you watched the movie?
No.
Okay, so there's this part where Nemo's dead because, you know, he's with Dory. They're trying to find the sun, blah, blah, blah. They bump into the turtles. You know, they travel through those currents, and we spoke about it briefly yesterday. They travel with those currents, so... Now Nemo's dad meets them and is like, listen, I'm looking for the east wind current to Australia. And this guy says, this is it. You are in it now. And then he explains that there's a turn. You have to, at this particular point, you have to go left. Don't go right. Go left. So even the seas, even the animals and the fish inside know that you don't fight the current. You just flow with it. And then there's a particular point where you can.
Right.
The weight will allow you,
right?
But you can't fight it. Okay, wow, that is so fascinating. So why would you recommend somebody to go to a retreat? If someone says to you, listening to us now, it's like, you know, what's this retreat thing? What's the difference between, I mean, going to a one day or half a day session with a guru or with a teacher? Why must I go for a whole 7 days and stuff? What happens with the days? Because that makes a difference.
Right.
Okay.
So I think there's a difference between retreats and workshop processes or training processes. So even you can get 7 day workshop processes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can.
Those are where all you're doing is going through a process and there's nothing else.
Okay.
And it has its benefit.
There's a place for
There's a place for that. But you don't get the chance to I think retreats give you a place for rest.
Conscious.
They give you a place to reconnect yourself just by looking at the ocean.
Yeah.
I don't need... There's not a facilitator helping me to connect with myself
I'm
taking a walk, looking at the animals.
Going through the forest,
the stars,
walk. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I'm getting the opportunity to sit in front of, you know, either a teacher. It might be one teacher through the process, or might be multiple teachers. And then also, I mean, the beauty of just having all this beautiful food prepared. And, I mean, as you know,
the inner chef in me came out.
I don't go to retreats that are not plant-based.
Yeah.
The first thing I look for is whether, because retreats are also about an opportunity for healing.
Yes, yes.
It's an opportunity for detoxing. If you're doing emotional detoxing, you need to be on a diet that supports that.
That is light enough and all that. And okay, while we're talking about the food, what does meat do, especially in a retreat space? What does meat do to the body?
On a physical level, meat increases your cortisol and adrenaline levels because the meat, the time the animal dies, its cortisol and adrenaline is high because they're very afraid.
It's painful, yeah.
So then, of course, there's the commercial aspect of all the hormones they pump.
Of course,
right? Yeah. And those things affect our...
So you are what you eat.
So here we are burnt out already from our pressures. Now we're eating a diet. That actually keeps us in survival, keeps us in fear mode. And meat is very heavy.
Yeah.
It makes us dense. And when we are expanding in consciousness, if we're eating meat, there's a place we can go and not
pass. You can't go past a certain point. I totally get it. Yeah.
And the other aspect, you know, when I was working with private clients level, and people used to come for depression and anxiety, I would say, I won't work with you unless you're willing for the duration of the time we work together to go off animal products.
Yeah, I remember.
And why? There's two. So the one is that how it increases your anxiety levels because of those.
Yeah, of course, right? What you just said.
And the other thing is that meat is violence. So you're eating a diet.
There we go. Violent vegans. Okay, I'm kidding.
You're eating a diet of violence. Yeah. You're eating that energy.
No, it's true. I get it. And I'm very, very surprised at my process of moving into plant-based. You know, I'm on a journey of plant-based. So I still am into chicken and eggs and cheese and stuff like that. And it's things that I know. In fact, it's annoying that it's just a journey because I don't do cold turkey well. I have to, for me, it has to be a process. It has to be gradual. And I have seen the change. The change in, like, you get light literally physically, you know, and also digestively, my digestive system works better. So when I was putting this retreat together, and I'm like, but it's not a vegan retreat, and the delegates are not vegetarians or vegans. Am I not imposing on them? And I remember you sent an email when you were responding to one of my emails as we were planning this, and you said, make it a vegan retreat, and you just left it at that. Then I checked with them, and everyone was not even so much as, okay, can we have wings or anything? And they're like, just bring it on. Mm-hmm. We just want the process as is. And then I get surprised by my cooking. Suddenly, there's the vegan chef in me that's just emerging. I can't wait to actually find out where that comes from.
And have you noticed how people say, wow, if I could eat like this every day, I would never need meat?
Yeah. No, because you can't, it doesn't even cross your mind that there's no bravos. You don't know. It's food. And I was there. They were surprised that breakfast is a meal, because we are so used to breakfast being oats or cereal or eggs and bacon and toast. But, you know, having a breakfast of mashed potato, beans, some veggies, a big salad, it just shocked them that is that breakfast. And so food is a big part of the retreat, you think. So yes, that's the retreats you choose. Make sure that it's plant-based, because it makes you lighter. Okay, and what else? What are the benefits, so that we can wrap it up? Yeah.
You know, like, also just being, like, coming back to the teachers, just being able to be in front of, like, world-class teachers.
Yes.
It's irreplaceable. And you can't...
And not for 1 hour, for the whole 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
And online does incredible things, but you can't replace a group community face-to-face experience. There's something about community. That when you're face-to-face, there's the magic of the community supporting you.
That
is just irreplaceable. And my experience is that your transformations through group experiences like this at retreats, it accelerates.
It does.
The healing and the growth.
That's what Vangile said yesterday when we did, what we spoke about was, the reason for that is that everybody who's here has one goal and one intention, which for me, it's slightly the difference between an event and a retreat. Because an event, you never know who these people are coming. We're coming from all walks of life, and we're coming to this one room for this one teacher with completely different agendas. Where else a retreat is a process, because it's months ahead planned. You get to know who else is coming. So we all hold one intention, and that intention is either to expand, like we did in Thailand, or to heal, which is this one. And so because we all have one collective goal, that's why after a retreat, honestly, you are never going to be the same again. Because it's not just your intention, it's an intention of 11 people or 18 people or whatever the case is. So you are repeating
and
the same thing.
And do yoga every morning and have the walks and things you wouldn't normally necessarily do, right?
In your everyday life.
That's not at events and other kinds of trainings.
Because you are rushed anyway, because you have to be there on time, and you have to be all nervous, trying to network with strangers that you don't know, and your anxiety levels are all affected. So a retreat, because of the days, by day 3, there is almost one flow. We almost can feed off each other's energies. When you heal, I heal. When you grow, I grow. So that is the beauty. So guys, I hope when Joe or me or Vangile or any of the guests that I will have pushes a retreat, you will at least give it a chance and, you know, see for yourself. I think it's a thing that you should do at least once in your life. Okay, Joe, I want people to know, I did obviously introduce you, but I want them to hear from the horse's mouth. What work are you focusing on now? I know you're big on relationships, and you are, you're a badass with relationships. And one of the major thing you taught me about relationships is that the relationship is about you. A relationship is not meant to make you happy. It's about your own personal growth. Can you talk more on that so that people can understand that? Because we blame the partners. I mean, it's like, he did this, I did that. He made me do this. He's not doing this. Why is it about me?
The greatest learning for me when I was struggling with relationships was discovering that no, actually, particularly romantic relationships, they're not here so that I can have a friend and not get lonely and I can have great sex.
They're not for this.
They're not for that.
You know? Oh, but the sex is nice. Of if course, I could just have the sex
all of
only.
Those things are great places. But the incredible growth I had was when I was taught by the teachers whose shoulders that the real purpose of relationships is growth. And that relationships don't cause our pain. Relationships reveal to us the pain that's already there.
Ooh, I'm getting goosebumps.
So I had really insecure thoughts about myself growing up. As I entered into puberty, I had those, based on experiences I already had, had formed these negative opinions on myself. And so naturally, the kinds of relationships, who I was attracted to, mirrored.
Exactly.
Mirrored the mind talk I already had about myself. Mirrored how I treated myself. Mirrored the way I was living my life.
Okay, I want to stretch a little bit and I also want to be very careful how I phrase this question. If someone says, for an example, okay, Joe, I'm living with this guy or this woman and I get beaten up every weekend and I'm being abused, what are you saying that it's my fault? It's mirroring my... What can you talk to that a bit? And I know this is a very sensitive matter and you are very gentle with it and I want them to hear it from you. What does it mean?
So first of all, if there's anyone who's listening who's in that experience, the first thing I would say is, what support do you need to get out?
Yes, okay.
And I understand getting out is very tricky.
Yes.
It's not always as easy as people
think. Which is why people stay.
Yes,
yes.
So there's no judgment when someone needs to stay, and when someone's still in the staying mode, they need support.
Yeah, what support do you need? Yeah.
I watched the movie about Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It?
Okay.
That was the song she sang.
Yeah, it's a powerful
out of her
song.
Abuse. So she was being abused by her husband terribly.
Yes, now her story is well known,
And she just couldn't get out. And she worked on herself. She came to a realization. And she found her pathway to work on herself. And the movie shows that. So she stopped trying to engage with him.
You must watch the movie. I didn't know there was a movie.
Yeah, it was one of the awakenings for me.
Yeah.
So every day she worked on herself for hours. And then one day she just took up the things and she left.
What is working on yourself? Because what I find, and I'm asking you this because I find with my following my clients and the community I have, people don't know what we mean by inner work or what working on yourself means. Yeah.
Are many ways. So working on yourself, so in the relationship context, is that when someone is upsetting you, for me that becomes the material of which I can work on myself. So I can go, why am I feeling angry? What about this is upsetting me? What's hurting me? And then I will choose a tool that I've learned to use what I'm feeling to grow.
And sometimes it comes. Sometimes it comes to you when you start asking yourself, but why am I so upset? Why am I so hurt? Or sometimes it comes as you are deeply crying. It comes as a voice. It comes as a thought. Or something would say, take a walk. And then as you walk, you're processing something and then you remember a childhood thing. So that's it.
So it can mean many things.
It can be many things.
And also there's different phases. Like in the beginning, sometimes working on yourself is just reading books and having realizations. But to really have the transformation, you need to move to a deeper level.
Yeah, true. True.
So coming back to the question that you had about the abuse. My experience, what I say is that whatever's going on is a doorway to possibilities of what is unresolved inside you. So I cannot ever know if you're going through an experience. I cannot say to you, oh, it's because of A, B, and C, and D. What I can do is give you the tools for you to discover what is the growth you need to have so that this never happens again.
Yeah.
So one of the possibilities, and there's many possibilities with abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, is that the no one ever treats us better or worse than we treat ourselves.
That's it. That's
so we can be treated really well and really badly in the same relationship. Or by different people. Some people treat us amazingly and other people treat us really badly. Because it's mirroring. And when I say treat ourselves, I'm talking about thoughts, the way we think about ourselves. Men, we are violent towards ourselves. We are violent towards our bodies. We are violent towards ourselves. We are violent in what we put in our bodies. So we eat meat, we drink alcohol. That has been violent towards our bodies. And then
so working on yourself is not drinking a glass of wine when you're upset.
You can, I think it's a great way to put it, because it's how we go to substances. And I find a lot of people are using painkillers a lot.
That's big. That's a very, very big thing in the circles that I walk in. There's always someone with Brufen in their bag. And I'm not even, I just know that if there's a four of us, someone has Brufen or MyPaid or some strong stuff of painkillers. So painkillers.
One of the processes in my program is getting people off the addiction. Because you can't, the addictions are the escape.
The addiction is the escape instead, as opposed to working on yourself.
The addiction then causes more pain.
Absolutely. So
it becomes a terrible, terrible vicious cycle. And then there's also how we treat others. And often when we've been abused, we don't see necessarily how, and I'm not talking necessarily back to the same person, but usually there's a cycle of violence in family. So you abuse me and I take it out on someone. And maybe I'm taking it out on a shop attendant. Maybe I'm taking it out
on waiters, maybe on your kids, maybe on your staff. Let's say you're a manager or senior someone. You are taking it out somewhere. It is happening somewhere.
And I may not physically abuse, but perhaps I'm emotionally abusing. And we think emotional abuse is not as serious as physical abuse, but it is. Just because it doesn't, you can't see what you're doing, and because someone doesn't die from it. But people commit suicide from because of emotional abuse. And it, physical abuse, you know, do you know, Lebo, that if you think back to a time that you had a physical accident, you try and remember the pain now. You'll remember the pain, but you won't feel the pain as if it's yesterday. But to an emotional incident, you will feel the pain as if it's just yesterday. So emotional abuse is actually, in that sense, far worse than physical abuse.
Okay. So I lost the trail of thought now. We were talking about being treated differently. So some people treat you well, some people treat you badly. So those who treat you well are reflecting the areas of yourself where you treat yourself well, right? And then those who treat you they're triggering where you abuse yourself.
And the defining moment in that Tina Turner story is that months later he comes after her in the parking lot. So she's escaped, she's got away. He comes over to her in the parking lot, and now she's found her power. And she faces him, and this man just shrunk. So he was coming to beat her. And she, and I don't remember the specifics of how she, like what she said to him, she was like, and you, it was just because all that work she'd been doing gave her the courage to finally leave.
Oh, my word.
And she had to go to a hotel that she didn't know, bleeding, and say, please, can you give me a room for the night? I've got no money.
So, and she's Tina Turner.
She's Tina. And so that inner work allowed her to make the courage to go. She found her feet. She got herself going again. And there he comes after her. Nothing's different. He's still the same man. He still wants to control her. But she, you know, there was just something
has shifted. And so he comes to be this, the Tina Turner, and finds a completely new person, and he can't do it.
So it's not about fault. And no amount of anything excuses the behavior. We're talking about that, it's like saying, oh, you're saying it's okay, and you're saying it's because of me. No, it's not your fault. You don't deserve this in any
way. Thank you for saying that,
And
it's wrong, and it's doesn't a criminal excuse offense. And it doesn't excuse the person. But there is a deeper spiritual thing about it, which also can be ignored. Okay. So, how then do we close this? What's an advice to someone who is hearing this for the first time? Like, for an example, if someone wants to work on their relationship and they're external about it, they just think they must work on the man. I must fix him. I must give him books so he can read. He needs to reach my level. You know how we do it, especially as women. You just suggest, you put magazines there, you drag him to workshops. You do all sorts of things and nothing moves. If anything, it gets worse.
Here's what not to do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it. Cool.
Yeah. So stop demanding. Stop. If you've been asking for years, stop asking.
Ooh,
stop.
That's
nagging.
Also another counter.
Stop criticizing. Just stop.
Stop criticizing. Stop nagging. Yeah. Stop asking. Stop demanding.
And stop punishing with silence.
Oh.
All of those things are violence. Mm. Form of violence.
So the silent treatment, it's stop that.
People get divorced not because they fight. They get divorced because of how they fight.
Mm. The fights are not the problem.
And having disagreements and different values and hurting each other is not the problem. It's the how you handle those things. Okay, so that's what not to stop doing. So that you're at least not making it worse. Because all those things make it worse.
Yeah.
What to do instead?
Yeah.
So one of the first things that shifts is whatever it is you're wanting, and learning how to give yourself that. That doesn't mean we're saying, no, this person must never do the
gift
ABC.
Me.
Yes.
Yeah, the person must never.
No, I'm not talking about becoming so independent that there's no room for this person to ever like be loving and give you some money or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But to not be dependent on another human being for your happiness. True. To not be dependent on another human being for your stability and your well-being.
Mm.
So no matter what they are doing or not doing, you are centered and you are well within yourself. Does that mean you'll never experience anger, hurt, sadness? No, you will.
And frustration with
but
that.
But it doesn't live with you.
Mm.
You have your... You see what? Where my husband and I don't do a lot of talking to problem solve.
You told me that, and it is so fascinating because I tried it. It works like a charm. We don't talk to problem solve.
Yes. Yeah. So it's so you're saying that when now what you've experimented with is just going and doing the work on your own, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we do. Is that if I'm not feeling right and I'm cross with him, before I talk with him, I'm going to go do the work. I'm going to choose one of the tools. I'm going to go do my work 90% of the time. I'm like, oh, there's no issue here. And then the 10% of the time, I'm like, okay, so there is something here. Do I need to talk about it?
Or will it go away on its own? But then if someone says no, but you sweeping things under the carpet, communication, you know, we are taught communication, communication is key. How does finding that 10% of the time is like, no, I don't think I should talk about it. How does it differ to sweeping it under the carpet?
Yeah. I think the big key difference is a lot of what we think we're doing when we're airing things out is actually trying to control other people. So I don't agree
that's
with
true.
You. I don't like the value you have. You're not meeting my expectations. I think your behavior should change. And let's take something that's very real, practical in the house.
Yeah.
A lot of what couples fight about is the cleaning of the house. It's the petty stuff. Many people get divorced. Many women walk away from their marriages because they're just exhausted, right?
I don't clean. I cook.
Well, there we are.
I don't clean.
So what a lot of people do is instead they will break their backs cleaning and then they will nag and talk about it all the time. Every day, we need to talk. And then they will criticize and suggest what should be done and then keep needing to talk about it. That's what a lot of people think communication is.
And that's far from communication.
You've given a beautiful example. You just don't do it.
I don't clean. And it's something that it's known. I will cook. And you know, I mean, you've experienced my cooking. I can cook every day, 365 days. Obviously, I'm just exaggerating. But that's my thing. And he cleans. We do have a helper. We do have a domestic worker. But he doesn't like a dirty place. And I also, interestingly, don't like a dirty place. And he just simply cleans it.
A lot of people will say, but my husband is different. Because he, you know, if I stop, it's just going to become a mess.
Oh, okay. No, he's going
to
clean
it. To some degree, it's like the trust that you have a human being next to you. A human being has their own ability and capacity to be self-reflective.
Yes.
And maybe it's not going to happen on day one. But at some point, you know, if we all as human beings go, you know, I want more. And if you don't make space for people to step into the more,
It's never gonna happen. So you get irritated, and then you clean it anyway, and then you get upset, and then you wanna talk about it.
And once you've done that work, you can then go, okay, there is a conversation to be had. Mm-hmm. But when you come, it's not gonna be loaded.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be heavy and accusatory.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be very clear and almost straightforward and very short. Very short. It's not gonna be a long.
Because you're not blaming that person for how you're feeling.
Yeah.
But you're still having the conversation to say, you know, let's see if we can do this differently so it works for both of us.
Okay.
And I don't believe in compromise, by the way.
Because
you know what comes with compromise is resentment.
Oh, so compromise is not to be done. Don't compromise.
I personally, I don't believe in compromise. I don't want you to compromise for me. I don't want you to give up yourself to make me comfortable.
That's also,
I'm not asking for that from you.
Yeah. You just what are we asking for? In a what do I?
So I want I want you to be true to yourself.
Okay. Cool.
And that doesn't mean that in being true to yourself you don't care about.
Yeah, or be sloppy, or be uncaring.
Yeah. And so like one of the things, for example, I sleep early, I wake early, and I need really a lot of quiet.
Mm, me too. Mm.
So my husband, he didn't need to compromise for that. He cared about me to give me that because it didn't affect him. But there are other things where like it's important to him and he's not going to compromise on it. He's not going to, just because it makes me anxious, go, okay, I'll just give up my life for you. Because now you're anxious.
Then it will make him resentful.
Yes.
It will make me resentful. Yeah. Speaking of that, of the things that we do that make us happy or make us more authentic. For an example, I was telling you or Van yesterday that I'm a morning person, but I don't want to talk in the morning. My mornings are about reconnecting with the body, because you know when we sleep we soul, the topic for another day. So I'm getting back into my body and I'm planning my day. You know, I have a particular strict routine, and I find that a conversation in the morning totally throws me off. It doesn't matter what the conversation is about. So plus one and I have this thing. We literally I wake up, I prepare Dawu, I do what I need to do. He wakes up, complete silence, puts on his tracksuits, gym stuff, walks out the door. Not even, okay, maybe a hello or a touch or something. It's the most beautiful space in our lives. But it wasn't always like that, because when we started living together, he loves the news. He's a news junkie. And you'd find him reading News 24 on the phone. And the first thing, when I open my eyes, he wants to tell me about Malema and Zuma. Ooh! And then one day I told him that I actually don't want to talk. So we only talk after he comes back from gym. And then we go on with our work. He goes to his meetings and stuff like that. So no one compromises, because he says, I actually need to move my body first thing in the morning. That's why he wakes up and goes to gym.
Right.
And then there's no one compromise. Yeah. But it works.
So that's the difference.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But compromise is giving up something that actually is compromising you.
That it is, and it can't be
and
good.
And then you're harming yourself.
Can't be good. Okay, guys, so go on Facebook, look for Joan Sebeza.
Love Shift Live.
Yeah, please tell them your group, because I forgot.
You can find me hashtag Love Shift Live. That's easiest to remember.
Love Shift Live.
Yes, my website is also loveshiftlive.com.
Is it no longer Kalavati?
No, the Kalavati is there. No, the Kalavati is still the company.
Oh, the whole
Kalavati is bigger than the relationships. Kalavati has many companies.
I get you. It's like Lempule Business Networks. There's Stretch there, there's Alone there, there's all other things. Okay, cool. So say it again, because
Love Shift Live.
So a person goes on Facebook. It's a hashtag.
Yeah.
And then Love
and
Shift
Twitter,
Live.
Instagram. I'm just not as active.
As active, yeah. No,
Space is really on Facebook.
Facebook
Lives. Mm. I have Love Shift Live classes on Facebook, free classes.
Yes. And it's a free group, né? Unlike mine.
It's a free
group. Joe has a free group, just like Vankile. I highly recommend it, especially if you're in a relationship, especially a long-term relationship, especially when you really, really just want to stay. Or if you even in a crossroad and you're not sure what to do, please join Joe's group. You will thank me later. And you know what I want to be thanked with. Okay, now, last part of the interview so that we're not long. You know, I'm very fascinated with the big things in life, as you know, the big universal changes. There's a lot happening in the world. We have a Trump, we have a Putin, we have a really, really big mess in our own country, politically, economically. It's a whole other ball game. So I just want to hear your thoughts. Really, you can touch, it doesn't even have to be politics, it can even be spiritual. What do you think is happening in the world? Are we going for Armageddon? Is the world coming to an end? Are we awakening? There's also the AI, because I'm so deep into AI. It's such a fascinating phenomenon for me that robots are going to take over. And there is, I'm feeling two ways about it. There's an excitement and a fear. So what, when you're sitting at your home and thinking about these big things, if you do, I do, comes to mind? What's happening?
So I'm going to speak first just very quickly to the Trumps.
Yeah.
they represent us.
Yeah.
The leaders represent the consciousness of a country.
That's true.
So, you know, when I look at leaders, I don't focus there.
You don't focus irrelevant. On Putin.
Trying to focus and criticize and whatever, blah, 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 them. Just look at social media to see who our consciousness as a country.
Yeah. I always, I go to Twitter for that. I'm like, gosh, we are angry. We are bleeding.
We're more than angry. It's a real violence. And of course, because it's the hurt.
Yeah, we are very... South Africans, we are bleeding. That much I know.
Yeah.
And not just bleeding, it's oozing. Yeah. It's hemorrhaging and also very septic. It's bad. Okay, sorry for your time.
You know, in terms of the awakening now, we are moving as a humanity. We are really, in fact, increasing in our consciousness.
Yes, yes. Vance said
so
the same
thing.
So
we're not going towards an Armageddon. There was a point in time where that might have been so.
Okay.
And there is always a danger when you have high technology. Mm. Because if the technology exceeds the spiritual consciousness, and what do I mean by spiritual consciousness? I think just to keep it really simple, which is love and compassion.
Yes.
When technology exceeds love and compassion, the world will destroy itself. Mm. And we have definitely been a humanity that's done that.
Mm.
We've destroyed the planet, you know, the way we treat animals, the way we treat each other.
Yes, planet, climate change is just showing us flames.
Yeah.
Things are changing.
Mm. But I think that's past, and you can see a very real shift.
Mm.
And that's partly why, in fact, there's so much craziness on social media, because it's the last.
Mm.
It's the last of that energy.
Mm. It's hectic, though.
It is hectic.
It's very, very hectic.
And AIs are only things to be feared if as a humanity, we don't grow with a love and compassion.
AI is artificial intelligence, in case you're hearing the phrase for the first time.
Now, one of the fears, and it's a very real thing, is the job losses. So it's very real.
Yeah, no, that's a real thing.
So when I say what I'm going to say now, I don't want it to be taken like I'm being dismissive of that. Mm. But I don't want to go to the practicalities, because now's not the time. And
we don't have a lot of time to
have a solution for that. What I do know is that when we pass the difficult phase of it, is that when AIs take over the menial labor,
and the cashier,
it frees human beings to be the creative beings that they are.
That's I remember.
And to earn the money, like to be, you know, to that is when we will all be free. That is when we will have wealth. True wealth. Human beings are not meant to, it served its purpose, but human beings are not meant to stay stuck doing menial labor. So AIs will free us of that. But we're going to have a very difficult period because we also don't have an education system that has geared us towards that. We have an education system around the world that teaches us to be workers.
Well, labors, to be the robots that now are taking over. When I posted about this on Facebook, I was so fascinated with your comments, because, you know, now and again you do comment on my post, and I remember after your comment thinking, cashiers, petrol attendants, waiters, I remember thinking of a spectrum of jobs, and there was almost an epiphany that of course human beings are not supposed to do that. Who wants to go ding 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 plastic? Come on, people, we have to do better, we have to be more creative. But then there is a real problem of then what? Hence you were saying that you're not saying yeah, 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 get rid of this. Let
and
the robots do it.
Let's not care. The
it is real,
going
and it's
suffer.
Going to be very painful because jobs are a real thing. I mean, there's talk of universal basic income, and some countries are trying it. Some countries think it won't work. It's not going to be sustainable. So those conversations, I love. You know,
yes,
I mean, I love
yes.
those
my
kind of things.
Very
yeah,
big about the
yeah.
universal
so
basic.
Me
income.
Too.
My mother thinks it's impractical.
Yeah, it is. Just to in case someone doesn't know what we're talking about, universal basic income is basically a concept that says the people who are going to lose the jobs, like the truck drivers, because the trucks are going to drive themselves, need to earn, it's not necessarily welfare, it's not social grants, but it's an income for being human.
Yes,
the fact that you
like
are a
human right
you
shelter,
need yeah you have
food,
a right of yeah
medic access to
yeah and but then the arguments are what is basic, because for someone basic could mean all sorts of things. Someone, it could be shelter, food, and vacation. For someone else, it could be. So that there's that debate, I'm following it very closely.
Yes.
Okay, Joe, my friend, once again, thank you for honoring me with this retreat. It has been lovely to catch up with you. I mean, we spoke, gosh, we caught up. And thank you for showing the plant-based way. I am a vegan chef inside. She has been birthed. And thank you for loving me, and I love you very much.
And I thank you. It's been such a special week, and I feel very privileged to be a part, not just of this, but like you, Vankile,
Zanele,
just like all
and
of
the
us.
Stretchers and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to do the stretchers interview. I don't think we have time because we need to be heading to the airport.
And if just, anyone is listening,
yeah,
just to say, like to join Stretch.
Oh, thank you. Please
Stretch
do.
Is just
please punt. Thank you.
You know, as even as a teacher,
yeah,
I learn so much from your lessons.
Yeah.
I'm there reading all your lessons. I'm like, oh my God, she explains. Like I do shadow work in my in my program, but then I look at your lesson on shadow work. I'm like, oh my God, this just puts it all so much
yes,
better.
Yes, no, I do actually have a gift of simplifying these very, very huge concepts. And one of the things that the stretchers were saying yesterday when we were having just our session, and they were saying, you know, what you do is you almost... you show us a whole different world. You show us how to see the world differently and how to operate. It's almost like you're giving us the tools of being human. Because I do very, very much groundwork. I mean, they know. I mean, my listeners, I tell them all the time. I start you with universal laws. As a human being, you need to understand what governs this universe you live in, and then work with them. Like you were saying, you can't fight the current. It's part of a universal law. So I teach you universal laws, and then I tell you about archetypes. Archetypes are... Okay, I'm not going to get there now, but I will give you the basics you need to be a fully functioning human being. Then Joe will take you into relationships and really, they specialize. Joe, Vangile, Zanele, they specialize in different things. I'm a generalist. I'm the groundwork. So I would also recommend that you join Stretch. Yeah, but mine is not free. My group is not free. I don't think it's very expensive, but it's definitely not free. Joe's group is free. Vangile's group is free.
The difference between my group and your group is I'm not providing lessons.
Yeah, daily.
That I have a program where people pay for that.
For that, yeah. So they're in the group.
So it's yours is more than a group. Yours is a program.
Yeah, mine is a program already. So hence you pay for it. And it's a mass thing. I want a lot of people to be in that program. And then they can join your group and then they can buy your program. Right. So, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Enough selling. Thank you so much. Let me go shower. I stink. I smell garlic. I smell of all sorts of things. Do you have a goodbye? Because you know my goodbye is love and all green lights. Do you have a...
No, Adelaide, my very close friend, when we do lives together, she has a... My goodbye is... Which is... can you...
Okay,
yeah,
she's
Adelaide,
kissing.
Adelaide says, away.
Away
yeah,
my mask again.
Yeah.
Okay, love and green lights, my friends. I shall see you next week.